Okay, tonight, if you have your Bibles, I want to look again at this business of Jacob and Esau. And let's start back with the promise in verse 19 of the 25th chapter of Genesis. And it says there, "And these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padan Aram, the sister to Laban, the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife." Now remember that she was barren. And, so he prayed for her, and then she got pregnant. And so Isaac entreated the wife for his because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And so while she is pregnant, we pick up in verse 22, "And the children struggled together within her, and she said, 'If it be so, why am I thus?'" You know, there's something wrong here, you know. Now, we don't think about, usually twins wait till they're born before they start fighting. You know, it's an interesting thing about twins. They can be very close, or they can be, a lot of competition sometimes with twins. But anyway, Isaac was entreated, and the children struggled together within her. And she said, "If it be so, why am I thus?" And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, "Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger." Now, all of a sudden, my mind just went blank. Anyway, Dennis just gave me back, I loaned him a copy of my book, The Two Sons of God. And in that book, I wrote it probably 20 years ago, close to that anyway. But I saw, while I was studying the scriptures, I saw that there was a contrast between the firstborn and the secondborn. Firstborn, secondborn. And then if you compare that with the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, then you see we have the first man is of the earth, that's Adam, and the second man is the Lord of glory, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's why I named the book The Two Sons of God. Yeah, first son by right of creation with respect to the earth is Adam. You know, now, Christ is eternal. He's God. But as far as in a human body on the earth, who was first? Adam. And the scripture tells us of Adam, "As in Adam all die." Now, Adam was created in the image of God. He was perfect in his ways, until he ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And when he ate of that tree, he ate of it because of his love for Eve. Eve was deceived by the serpent. She ate of the tree being deceived. Let's go back and read that in the third chapter of Genesis again. But as we read these things, sometimes we just read over the top of them and let's get to the next chapter and the next chapter and the next chapter. But it's amazing how much theological truth is in these natural relationships that we see in the scriptures. So when Eve was deceived, the serpent came to her. Now the serpent was more subtle, chapter 3 of Genesis. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, "Yea, hath God said," or we would probably say it this way, "Did God really say?" And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But we have to rightly divide the word of God. We have to have it in its context. And what the serpent does here immediately is take the situation that God has spoken to both Adam and Eve and warned them not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, you would think this would just dawn on everybody, but it doesn't. That what is our knowledge of good and evil? Well, by right of definition, morality is man's sense of right and wrong, good and evil. So what did Adam and Eve get from the tree? They got a knowledge of right and wrong, or good and evil, independent of God. It was the serpent who planted that tree. When we read that God created all the trees in the garden, that's true. But when we see that we have to get all the way over into the New Testament and read about the parable that our Lord spoke about, he sowed good seed in his field, and while men slept, an enemy came and sowed tares amongst the wheat. Now, what are tares? Tares are what we would call bastard wheat, or counterfeit wheat. They look like wheat while they're growing together, but when they begin to head up with the grain, the tare or the wheat will bow over with the weight of the grain, and the tare will stand right up, proud as can be. Okay? And so that's what we have in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is the basis for every religious system in this world. And it's corrupted the truth of Judaism when the Jews were the custodians of the truth. And it's corrupted the biblical truth of Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And when you think about what's taught under the canopy of Christianity, most of the churches will say, okay, you have to be saved. Christ died for your sin. Believe on the Lord and thou shalt be saved. And they go that far. But then it's as if, okay, now what I couldn't do before, I can do now. No, you have no more power as a believer in Jesus Christ to live a sinless life than any unsaved person in this world. Now, our lives are modified by our understanding of the Word of God and the indwelling presence of the Spirit of God, but we're never going to be sinless until the day of the resurrection. As long as we live in this body, the life of the flesh is where? It's in the blood. That's very important, And God made, according to Paul's remarks to the Athenians on Mars Hill, in the 17th chapter of Acts, he said, God made of one blood all of the families of the earth. So we're born into this world, really, with the blood from our father, Adam. Now, it's been passed on from generation to generation. And we know, that blood types are established by the father. And all of the blood that flows in our veins is basically, genetically, comes from the father. Not one drop of our blood comes from our mother. That's why that we are born with a sin nature. And the scripture teaches us that we're liars from our mother's womb. You don't have to be very old before you already manifest your sin nature. It's fun being naughty. And it's expressed right away. And, I've talked about this, but a child can be fed, be comfortable. It's time for them to go to sleep. They're tired and everything, but they're fed. They're dry. Back in my day, they didn't have these plastic diapers, there's a definite disadvantage to plastic diapers. It makes moms lazy. Because it's easier to, let the kids poop their britches than to teach them how to go to the toilet. And so I notice children that should have been potty trained long ago are still wearing plastic diapers. Now, I'm not after anybody. It's just a part of the days in which we live. But if you were like my wife, we lived in Spokane, Washington, when I was in the Air Force. It gets pretty cold in Spokane. And with our, Debbie first, and then Aaron. And then you use cloth diapers and pins. And you have to wash every day. And it's freezing outside, but you hang the diapers outside till they freeze, and then you bring them in, hang them behind the wood stove so they'll dry. And it's something you do every day. Believe me, because of that, mothers are very anxious to potty train their children. But the age in which we live, and the kids get cranky because they don't like walking around with their britches loaded with feces. I'll use the right word. It's not comfortable. And if mom's a little bit lazy about it, she wonders why the kids are so irritable. Well, wouldn't you be irritable too if you had a load in your britches? We have a sin nature from birth, and we got it from Adam. And so we're born into this world dead in trespasses and sin. Mothers have a tendency, when their kids start telling whoppers, to blame the kids that they're playing with. But you got to remember, their mother is blaming you, and and vice versa. Your kids are influencing their kids and vice versa. But the truth of the matter, we've all got a sin nature. And we manifest that sin nature. And this is where we got it. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said. Now, that statement says, did God really say? So what is that? Casting doubt upon what God said. Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Is God so unfair that you can't just eat anything that you want? Well, there were every kind of fruit tree that you can think of was in the Garden of Eden. But it was the serpent, we learn it from the tares and the wheat, it was the serpent that planted the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right next to the tree of life. So then the serpent comes to the woman, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden. Now watch what happens here. Of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Now go back and see when it was given. Did God say anything about not touching the tree? No. He increased the prohibition and lessened the punishment. You won't really die. What kind of a loving God could take your life for such a small infraction? That's the implication. And that's what people say with respect to heaven and hell. How could a loving God send anyone to hell? Well, if everybody goes to heaven without being saved and being regenerated, and then when they're raised, glorified, and adopted, no longer having a sin nature, but you just lump them all together, we're going to go through this all over again. You can't have heaven without hell. Because if you have people with a sin nature with people that don't have a sin nature, it's not going to work. So it's really by the grace of God that they're separated. And God, when Christ came, he died for the sins of whom? The whole world. No one need go to hell. God paid the price for everyone. And all you have to be is willing. Come unto me, all you that are laboring and are heavy laden, and Jesus said, and I'll give you rest. So, as we look at this then, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. So, what did Eve do? She immediately got on unscriptural ground. She said something that God didn't say. So now the serpent's got her. Yeah. So when you quote scripture, and you want to make sure you're rightly dividing the word of God. So then it goes on, and the serpent said, "Oh, ye shall not surely die," or to put it in modern language, how could a loving God send anyone to hell? And that's the way people think. All I have to do to go to heaven is die. No. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And whosoever will may come. It's the door's wide open. God is not blocking anyone. Now, God in his omniscience knows who's going to believe. And their names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life because of the immutability of God from the before the foundation of the world. But it still says, whosoever will may come. So that means if you will to come, you can come. Okay. God's not going to prevent it. All you're going to know that if you will to come, you were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. So he goes on to say, "For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods." Well, there's no other God. There's one God. But the serpent is, many gods. And the religious system of the world, what do they say? Many gods. There's many ways to heaven. That's the lie of the devil. Okay? There's only one way. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me." And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, or to understand, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. And then she gave to her husband, and he did eat. Now, when we read in the scripture teaches very clearly that Adam was not deceived. Used to be a song years ago, and I can't think of the name of it, but
doing what comes naturally.
Yeah, doing what comes naturally, or something of the sort. But the idea is that people, they think that all they have to do is be halfway good, and that's good enough. No. God is an omniscient God. God is a holy God. God is a righteous God. God is a just God. God cannot be in the presence of sin. So, even his own son, the second person of Godhood, when he went to the cross of Calvary, people misunderstand this. Jesus said, "If it be possible." Now, that wasn't for his sake. That's for our sake. "If it be possible, let this cup pass from me." So what did he do? He took the sins of the whole world upon himself and bore the judgment of those on the cross of Calvary. And when he said, "If it be possible, let this cup pass from me," that's for our benefit. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." Okay. So he bore the judgment of your sins. He bore the judgment of my sin. He bore the judgment of the sins of the whole world. But that judgment's only effective if you believe. In other words, each one of us, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt what? And thou shalt be saved. So when the woman ate of it, and then she gave also to her husband, and then the first thing they did, when they're supposed to be like God, they've been having fellowship with God on a daily basis. And then God comes to the garden to fellowship with them again. And what do we read? And, it says in verse 7, "The eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked." They'd been naked from the day they'd been created. But there was no shame in being naked. What makes us ashamed to be naked? Our sin nature. That's what makes us ashamed. Okay? Well, maybe old age does too, but no Adonises at my age. Okay. So they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife did what? They'd been having fellowship every day with God. Now all of a sudden, Adam and his wife hid themselves. Why? From the presence of God. Why? They hid amongst the trees of the garden. Why? And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" Now, an omniscient God, an all-knowing God, knows where we are and everything that we've done. So this question isn't for his benefit, it's for Adam's benefit. Okay? And he says, "Where art thou?" And Adam said, to know who he represents, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. And I hid myself." And God said to him, "Who told thee that thou wast naked? Have you eaten of the tree?" You know, God certainly knew it. God's an omniscient God. But this question isn't for God's sake. This is for Adam's sake. And it brought conviction. Yeah. And "Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat?" And the man said, okay, now we're first case of passing the buck. You know. "Well, honey, I had an affair with a gal that I work with, but she tempted me." Yeah. "It wasn't my fault. She tempted me." Yeah. "She said, come on to my house, you know, whatever, like the words of this. And so people have been making excuses for their sin ever since. Yeah. Well, the truth of the matter is, it's a two-way street. Yeah. And both are involved. And so the man said, "The woman whom thou gavest to me to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done?" And the woman said, she passes the buck, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." You know, he deceived me. You know, remember, girls, when that guy's telling you how much he loves you, all he's interested is, you know, having it his way. Now, there are real love affairs and so on and so forth. But when you get with that guy that's dated every girl in high school class because he's a bit of an Adonis, captain of the football team, you know, come on, go with me. Some of my glory will fall on you. You know. And people do that for no other reason. You know. Just simply because a man's wealthy, or simply because a man is a professional football player, or you know, it doesn't take much of a reason. You know, if we want a reason, we can find a reason. Okay, so and the Lord God said unto the serpent. So then he cast judgment upon the serpent, and promises the Lord Jesus Christ. He says the seed of the woman. And then we talk about Abraham's seed. And over in the third chapter of Galatians, we read about that not seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. So when we talk about the seed of the woman, it's one person. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. When we talk about the seed of Abraham, it's, you know, it's one person. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's promised all through the Old Testament and revealed in shadows and types of the sacrificial system. And then later with the law was made to show God's standards. You know, and the law is, there's far more commandments than the ten. You read the book of Leviticus. Read the book of Deuteronomy. Yeah. It gets to be pretty laborious reading. You know, this set of rules for this condition, this set of rules for that condition. So there's more laws than anybody can even begin to remember. But what do all of them do? They show that we've all come short of the glory of God. Now, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. You know, because God in his infinite mercy promised Adam and Eve that the seed of the woman, Jesus Christ, would come in the fullness of time and stand in their stead in life, and stand in their stead in death, and bear their judgment, but not only theirs, but the judgment of a whole world. Okay. So then As we go on, then, we see this birth of Jacob, and or Esau and Jacob. We're going to get it in the order of their birth. And so, there's problem. Something's going on strange in the womb of Rebekah. And when her days, verse 24 of the 25th chapter of Genesis, were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb, and the first came out red all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. Esau is Edom. Edom is the equivalent of Adam. It means red. Okay? And Adam, Edom, same word, basically. And so Esau was a redhead. I guess that's why the redheads get all of the... the redheads are known for having hot temper. I don't think of any hotter temper than anybody else's, but all of this kind of crap that people believe. So the boys grew in the 27th verse. So they grow to adulthood. They're not little boys anymore. And Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. That is, Jacob, by a plain man, he had interest in things spiritual. And we see it among some of the, Amish type of, they're called plain people. Well, that it comes from this Hebrew word. It really just means a man that was interested in the things of the Lord. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Now, if you look at the Sunday school literature, we've got Jacob and Esau. They're always little boys, when Jacob left to flee from Esau, he was 77 years old. We learn that by following the genealogy through the scripture. You got to count forward, count backwards, and you find out that he was 77 years old when that took place. And Esau married at age 40, but then Jacob didn't marry until he was 77. And he married both Rachel and Leah at the same time. There may have been a difference because they snuck in the cockeyed gal. Basically, slow-eyed meant that she had a weak eye. It tended to be cross-eyed. Come back to this. And Jacob sowed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. Now, look at the importance that Esau puts upon his appetite. And so Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom, red, for the red pottage. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. Now, we talked about that last time. The birthright speaks of an inheritance. And in the natural world, who is heir to the throne? The firstborn. Okay. But in God's world, it's always the secondborn, because it speaks of not a natural birth, but a spiritual birth. So, this second person of the Godhead, and as far as on the earth, Adam's first, Christ is second. And so this is why I wrote that book, The Two Sons of God. Because if we compare firstborn, secondborn, it seems like the firstborn's always of the earth, earthy, and the secondborn has the interest in things spiritual. And so, we're all born naturally, or firstborn, but we have to be born again, or born from above. That's called the new birth. That's what Jesus told Nicodemus, except you be born from above, you shall not enter the kingdom of God. So, Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee. We read that. And Esau said, behold, I'm at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me? Now, I have no interest in my inheritance. All I'm interested in, feed me now. And now you put that in the realm of the world, And basically, how does the world live? Feed me now. You know, we have a message that people ought to be trying to tear the door down to get into this church to hear it. It's the way of eternal life. It's not by works of righteousness which we've done. It's according to God's mercy. Jesus Christ is God who stood in our stead in life, fulfilled every jot and tittle of law, fulfilled all righteousness, and then gave himself as a ransom for sin so that our sins can be paid for. And without the shedding of blood, there's what? No remission. So the Son of God became a man through the virgin birth so that he could live his life as a Jew and shed his blood for the remission of our sins. You know, the blood came from his father, not from Adam. You know, but he was virgin born because that way he could be born into the world without a sin nature. By natural birth, we all have a sin nature. So that's why the scripture says, as in Adam, all die. You don't have to teach your children to be naughty. And it's not the neighbor kids that are influencing them. You know, they've got a sin nature. And the scripture tells us that we're liars from our mother's womb. You know, and you can see it. A baby can be fed, warm, comfortable, no pins, all of this type of thing, time to go to sleep. But I want mama to hold me. You know, and so she fusses. And you pick her up, quits fussing. Lay it down. Fusses, you know. And what you need to do is what we had to do with Emily when first time that Trudy and Aaron ever left us, you know, they went out for the evening, and boy, she threw a fit. You know, there wasn't any way in the world that that child was going to be satisfied. So finally, we took her in. We had a big, you know, wasn't king-size bed, queen-size bed, and put her in the middle of it, put things so she couldn't get covered up in any trouble. And she just kept crying. So we closed the door. Went back 5 minutes later, she's asleep. You know. But she wasn't going to go to sleep, you know, as long as we were trying to comfort her. Because I'm getting my way no matter what. And I'm not picking on Emily. We're all that way. You know. Okay. So anyway, Esau didn't have any interest in his birthright, not until he sold it to Jacob. And then we read, let's go over we've got to jump ahead a little bit to make this make sense. And we see that, you know, Rebecca had a scheme, and Esau was out hunting. She told Jacob, put on your brother's clothes, and but my brother's a hairy man, and I'm smooth. You know. So actually, they took the skins of the goat that they were preparing, goat and venison are of the same family, so you can prepare it and make it taste the same. And savory meat, such as his father loved. So, but I'm a smooth man. Esau's a hairy man. He'll feel me and know I'm lying. You know. So she put skins on his hand and on the nape of his neck. You know, put his clothes on him so that he smelled like Esau, and he felt like Esau. And Isaac was told, "The elder shall serve the younger." So in Isaac here we see, Esau was his favorite because he loved venison the way that he prepared it. And so, then Rebecca and Jacob, he was her favorite. And so as we read about this, then it says, let me go here. So Jacob has been in these, deceived his father, and Isaac said unto Jacob, come near, I pray thee that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau. This is verse 21 of the 27th chapter. Now verse 22. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him, and said, the voice is the voice of Jacob's. Now what does Scripture say? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He rejected what he heard for what he felt. That's a very human thing. See, our emotions get involved in things, and we think according to our emotions rather than what thus saith the Lord. See, so this is a spiritual lesson for us too. But the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hand, so he blessed him. Now, he was told before he was born, the elder shall serve the younger, and in Isaac shall thy seed be called. It carries on to Jacob. The second born, Isaac was second born, Jacob was second born. Go down the line. And it's, this is where the inheritance is fulfilled. And he knew it before, she was still pregnant, So he says to Isaac, or to Jacob, and he said, bring it near to me, and I will eat my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat, and he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, come near now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him. And he said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Now, Isaac thinks he's blessing Esau. He was told the elder shall serve the younger. He should have been blessing Jacob. But, he had his pets. Mom has her pet. But what did God say? And God's will is going to be fulfilled no matter whether they're pets or not. Okay? So then he came near and he kissed him and he smelled the smell. And then, therefore, God give thee of the dew of heaven, in verse 28, and the fatness of the earth, and plenty of corn and wine, and let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren. Be Lord over the Arabs. And let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be every one that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, that Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from hunting. The cat's out of the bag now. And he also had made savory meat, and he brought it unto his father, and said unto his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac his father said unto him, who? Who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn, Esau. Now about this time, I think Isaac's getting the point that he went contrary to the will of God. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it to me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest. And I have blessed him, yea, and he shall be blessed. So it's sealed. Okay? It's the way it should have been in the first place. But the emotions of a mother, the emotions of a father, mother's pet, father's pet, And when Esau had heard the words of his father, now, this is the guy that says, I'm about to die. And what good is an inheritance to me? Give me of that red pottage and you can have my inheritance. But now his mind's changed. Blessed be even me also, O my father. And he said, thy brother came and with subtlety hath taken away thy blessing. And he said, is not he rightly named Jacob? supplanter. For he has supplanted me these two times, and he took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken away my blessing. And he said, hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? Oh, please bless me. You know, I wasn't interested in it when I was coming from the field and I hadn't eaten for at least for 4 hours. Yeah. But I wanted to satisfy my appetite. You know. And Isaac answered and said unto him, behold, I've made him thy Lord. Now, we look at the Middle East. And back when Israel became a nation, May 14th, 1948, the Arabs vowed, if they declare themselves a nation, when Great Britain was supposed to leave on the 15th of May, and they declared themselves a nation on the 14th, if they declare, we'll bury him in the nation, in the Mediterranean, in a week's time. Now, that was 1948. Do the math. You know, Israel's still a nation in their own land. Every war that they fought against the Arabs, Israel get taken to task for a little while, but then ultimately Israel would win and they would have more territory than they had before. You know, and with treaties and so forth, they've given it back. Giving it back. They've got the problem in Gaza, in Jordan, because the Arabs said, we'll come in and defeat the Jews, so you Arabs that are living in the land, get out so you don't get hurt. And when you get out and we whip them, then you can have the whole land. Okay? And they believed the lie, but Israel won. He won because God said that she'd be a nation back on in her own land on to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there's nothing anybody in the world can do to get Israel out of Jacob out of the land of Israel, to put it that way. Okay. So Esau, behold, I made him thy Lord. Now, verse 38, and Esau said unto his father, hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac, his father, answered and said unto him, behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth. What an oil-rich land. And of the dew of heaven from above, and by thy sword shalt thou live. If they're not fighting Jews, they're fighting with one another, all because of Muhammad, you know, because he said there'd be 70 divisions. There's far more divisions of that in Islam today, and each one thinks they're the only one. And even Muhammad said there'd just be one, you know. And so, you know, in the first Gulf War, we were kicking the living daylights out of Saddam Hussein. And so the Kurds sided with us. And then what happened? Well, then George Bush called off the attack on, and then Saddam Hussein stayed in power. And then he gassed the Kurds, and hundreds of thousands of people died because we didn't finish the job. But we've got to blame that on the Jews too, right? Okay. So, he said, and Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning of my father are at hand. My dad's going to die, and when he dies, then I'm going to kick the living daylights out of Jacob. He's been trying ever since. But he keeps getting beaten, you know. And why? Because God, the blessing was upon, God had to develop a people through whom the Christ would come into the world. A people that would be lifted up in pride and say, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. There's nothing good about the Jews. There's nothing special about the Jews over anybody else, except that God said that, in Isaac shall thy seed be called, and it goes on to the greater Isaac, the Lord Jesus Christ. So now therefore flee, my son, Or now, therefore, my son, obey my voice and arise, flee now to Laban, my brother, to Haran, and tarry with him a few days. So leave, and get out of this country. So I miss verse 42 that tells you, Esau wants to kill Jacob, And so then he has to leave and tarry with him a few days. Well, he was there a lot longer than a few days. 20 years or so. And Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth, that's his daughter-in-laws, through Ishmael, such as these which are of the daughters of the land. What good shall my life do to me? You save the, or intermarry with the daughters of the land. Esau wasn't the least bit interested in anything spiritual. And the daughters of the land, they were all idolaters. That's fine with me. Samson said about the Philistine, get her for me. She pleases me well. And there was more than one Philistine. Everybody knows about Samson and Delilah, but there was another before Delilah. Anyway, what do we see? The flesh lusteth against the spirit, and spirit against the flesh. But God, in his infinite mercy and grace, had to preserve Israel so that he could bring the Christ into the world, because it would be through Israel, through the seed of Abraham, but through the secondborn, not the firstborn. Always the secondborn, not the firstborn. So that it portrays, as I wrote in that book years ago, the two sons of God. A natural birth and a spiritual birth. As in Adam all die, so in Christ all will what? In Christ all shall be made alive. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's portrayed from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21 again and again and again. Some of it's prophetical, some of it's historical, but every word of the scriptures which have had the time to be fulfilled has been fulfilled completely and perfectly. And every word that is yet to be fulfilled will be fulfilled the same way, completely and perfectly. And what we're looking for is the next thing that's going to happen for us. Either death will take us and we'll be translated, our soul and spirit, immediately into the presence of God in heaven. Our bodies will remain into the grave till the day of the resurrection. The trumpet shall sound and the Lord shall say, come up hither. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Why if death's right? They've got to get up where we are. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's our hope. Do we have it because we're better than anybody? No. We're just as rotten sinners as the rest of the world. But the difference is the difference between Esau and Jacob. Jacob believed God. Esau did not. Thus far, our heads in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you for the marvelous truth of your word. How we see the gospel again and again and again, in the historical characters, in the prophetic utterance, in all of the events of the Old Testament scripture, natural events portraying spiritual events. We just praise you and thank you for the truth of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.